scriptures from the second chapter of Luke, the first through the 20th verses. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So our story begins with an unwelcome travel arrangements for Mary and for Joseph. And normally during the Christmas season, when we think about this, we understand that they're going to the town where he's from, in order to be counted and registered for tax, for the taxes that are there. And then we go into born in the manger. But this year, I learned something new about this trip that they had to take and why they had to go. They had to go because Rome wanted to be sure they had everyone counted properly. They wanted to know that where they were located, and they wanted to know how much more money they could get out of people who were already taxed to the brim, how much more money they can get out of them so they can continue to build their own empire, to handle their infrastructures, to make sure they have enough soldiers who are in the right place in order to, as Susan Robb says it in my Christmas devotional, to ruthlessly enforce peace. To ruthlessly enforce peace. Peace in that time frame was if you do what Rome tells you to do, not just obeying the law, but every whim that they have, everything they decide on the moment, then there will be peace in the land. But if you don't, peace is history. So because of the fact they want to continue to tax the people, they want to keep them under their thumb, so to speak, Mary and Joseph have to take this long journey on donkey, 9 months pregnant, to Bethlehem. Mary there has her first child. And then the message of the angels move over to the shepherds. Craig is going to come and talk about the shepherds themselves in a moment, but a couple of things about the message to the shepherds really stands out to me. And it's specifically the last line of the chorus of what is sung after the message. And peace on earth, goodwill for all. You see, these people who had traveled this long distance in order to be taxed so that they could have peace now have a message through these shepherds of what peace really is. And what peace really is comes from the message that the angels tell the shepherds. To you this day is born a Savior in the city of David. And he says to them, this message is for you. That's the first point there. Is he wasn't using the general you yet. He used the specific you of the shepherds. This is good news for you. And this is good news for all of the world. Because of the Savior that has been born, now there will be peace. I have to imagine, I have to understand, I have to believe that there was something else going on with them, the shepherds, that they needed this message of peace. And we know for their people, everyone was under oppression. We know that. And we think that if there was peace in the land because of the way Rome ruled, then that peace is circumstantial. Which means if everything is lined up just right, if everybody obeys to the letter everything they're supposed to and does what they're supposed to, then there will be peace. And yet the peace that is delivered in the message to the shepherds is a whole different peace. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter anything except one thing. God's presence is with you. To you born this day, in the city of David, is the Messiah, the Savior. And because of that, peace on earth, goodwill toward all. The shepherds get this message, and it says that they went right now. They said to each other, let's go right now and go to Bethlehem and see what we have been told. I don't like that method. How long is the trip? What do I need to pack? Do I need to make sure I have funds for food? Is there a hotel available in the event I can't make it in one day? Do I have enough clothes? Do I need to do laundry first? See where I'm going with this? I got to get ready for this. But wait a minute. These shepherds came in the middle of the... What? Whoa. Somebody just tell me I was dreaming. This isn't real, is it? Do we believe this is real? What should we do? None of that happened. None of it. They received the message from God. They heard about this peace that them and their people longed for a long time, long before they were born. They heard this and it said they immediately got up and went. Immediately got up and went. I wonder how often we hear a call from God and we try to rationalize it. We try to tell God, I'm not ready. Can you give this to somebody else? Here I am, send them. How often do we just get up and go in the message from God?
When they arrived, the scripture says that they saw exactly what the angels had told them, the sign that would be a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Most likely in the lower floor of the house where there would have been family and guests that lived upstairs and the animals downstairs. And in this place, they saw a scene probably, I imagine, something a little bit like what you have on the cover of your bulletin. Not quite like the one we have on the altar or the ones we have at home, but maybe just a little more realistic, maybe a little too real. a weary dad, terrified at this new child, wondering how he's going to care for him in this broken and violent world. Exhausted from the journey. Mary, a new mother giving birth, practically passed out asleep, trying desperately to recover. And the light and the warmth that always glows from a new baby, but still just a baby, at least from the shepherd's perspective. You know, we have the stories from Luke and Matthew that were written long after Jesus died. And they go back and they study the scriptures and they pull the passages from Isaiah about this child being born and how he's born in Bethlehem and all these prophecies. And they bring all that together. And so we kind of look at it and we say, oh, of course, this is the Son of God. But the shepherds didn't have time to do all of that theological study. They didn't get the angel message and then go to seminary for a couple of years and figure out exactly who this child was and how he was born from the line of David and get all the genealogies worked out to know exactly who he was going to be. All they knew was that there was a message that they received from God, that this child was the Prince of Peace, that this child would bring peace not only to the Romans, but to all the world, and that this message of peace was being declared to them, the shepherds, who really weren't part of the larger system of the world in their day. They were on the bottom of the ladder. Peace didn't really apply to them. They just kind of struggled through to get by day in and day out. Nobody really cared to them. They're not going to get an emperor visit from the divine Caesar. And they're certainly not expecting a visit from God. And yet here they walk into this scene, they walk into this room, and they see this ordinary baby in swaddling clothes, this exhausted mother and father. And they understand, because of that angelic message, in whatever form that may have taken, that God is with them, that God has come near, that they're not just nobodies on the margins, but that they are valued and beloved, and that God has been in their midst all along, that God cares about even them, not just peace for the powerful and the great and the mighty, but peace and joy and love and hope to every single individual who lived. And they understand that through just seeing this ordinary child. And I find it really interesting that as this ordinary child grows up, just like any of us would, learning to walk and talk. We've watched in this last year Barrett growing up right before our eyes, from not being able to hardly crawl in the back to walking up here on his own and getting lollipops, all excited. And we imagine Jesus in the same way, learning every basic thing that we had to learn as human beings, growing in wisdom and in truth as he gets older, to the point of finding him as a teenager in the temple, recognizing something special about his relationship with God and how God had drawn near to him and how he called God his own Father in the temple that day. And then he goes out as he calls his disciples and he points out the ways that God is showing up. In a sense, Jesus does in his ministry with the shepherd, what the angels did for the shepherds. They point out and say, you know what? God is here in your midst. To the shepherds, you'll see him in this baby. When Jesus goes around, he walks around and he looks out at the fields and he says to the disciples, you know what? God is in your midst too. You see those flowers? See those birds? Aren't they dressed greater than the splendor of King Solomon himself? Those birds don't worry about what they're going to eat or where they're going to get anything from. They're provided for, they're cared for. Doesn't God care for you as much? And then he tells stories of everyday, ordinary occurrences. Somebody who lost some money, a coin. A shepherd who lost a sheep. A son who's gone wayward and astray. He says God is in those things. God is in the rejoicing when the coin and the sheep and the son are found and restored to their rightful place and relationships are made whole. And he goes out on the hillside and he sees thousands of people and they're hungry. And the disciples say, send them home. We don't have enough. And he points to the ordinary little boy's lunch. A couple of pieces of bread, a few fish. Something that all of us would have laying around. And say, that's enough. That's enough.
Really?
You go feed them. This is enough. You got enough. Whatever little meager amount you think you have, whatever you can't imagine doing, you've got enough to do. God is in that. God's right there in that ordinary bread and that ordinary fish. And then he goes to people. Always the wrong people. The tax collectors and the sinners. The liars and the thieves and the cheats. Hanging out at a party at their house and everybody criticizes and condemns. Later on he goes to Zacchaeus' house and there's a realization that in the midst of these tax collectors, in the midst of the sinners, in the midst of all these places, that God has come to be with those people today. And then we find him with foreigners and outsiders, with religious others, with a Syrophoenician woman, with a leper from Samaria that's unclean and a complete outsider, with a Roman centurion who upholds the religion and the worship of the emperor and finds in them the kind of faith that he doesn't even find among his own people. And says, you know what? These people are outsiders. These people don't have all the traditional Jewish upbringing. They don't understand God and the Torah in the way we do. They haven't experienced year after year of remembering God's provision of bringing our ancestors out of slavery in Egypt. They don't have that story as part of their heritage. And yet, God is in these people. They believe that God is in their midst. And they believe that God can heal. And they believe and they have faith that God has power in their life circumstances, even though they don't belong to God's family, as it were. Over and over and over again, we find Jesus, this ordinary child, pointing his disciples and pointing us to ordinary things and ordinary people and saying, this is where God is, among the least and the lost. You see the face of Christ when we feed the poor and clothe the naked and visit those in prison and care for those who are sick. Feed those who are hungry and give drink to those who are thirsty. And we say, when have we done any of this for you, Jesus? And Jesus says, when you've done it for the least of these, those ordinary people that you meet in your everyday life. The ordinary people who might look a lot like Mary and Joseph in this picture, worn out, beaten down, struggling, just trying to survive and get through the next day. And Jesus says, just like the angel said to the shepherd, God's already there in those people, in those places. What are you going to do with it? And that is when the shepherds become angels. And I'll leave it with this. The shepherds become angels. Because you see, an angel is nothing more than a messenger of God. And angels show up in a lot of different forms throughout Scripture. With Abraham, we see the angelic messengers coming as three human beings. We see human forms of angels throughout Scripture. And then we also see these heavenly sort of forms. But in whatever form the angel takes, it always has one purpose, and that is to deliver God's message to the people. And so it says that the shepherds see this baby. They see in this ordinary family this worn-out mother, this travel-weary father, this tiny baby in the most uncomfortable crib imaginable. And they say, God is here. We heard the message. And we recognize it in this baby. And they went and they returned and they said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem, let's see. And then when they left, they reported what they had been told about this child. And everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds had told them. And they returned home glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, everything happened just as they had been told. Friends, the shepherds didn't have the whole gospel, the whole story to tell. They didn't know about Jesus' death and resurrection. They had never taken communion, as it were. They didn't understand the theology of the incarnation and what it meant for God to become flesh. They didn't have John's great treatise on the light coming into the world and illuminating the darkness. But what they had was the one thing that we are all given. A message of hope that says, wherever you are in the ordinary everyday stuff, God is already there. God is with you.
Isn't that a great message? To know that everywhere you are, everywhere everyone is, God is with you. And for those shepherds to leave Bethlehem and go and become angels themselves, messengers, they had to believe in the impossible. They had to truly believe in the impossible. Over at South China Grove this Advent season, I've been preaching on the angels of Christmas throughout the Christmas story, the angel appearances. And what I found is a common thread through all of them is that the person the person he spoke with, had to believe in miracles. Angel first showed up to Zechariah. Zechariah is praying in the temple the way he is supposed to. It's his turn. That's what he's doing. And the angel appears and says, your prayer has been answered. Your wife, Elizabeth, who is barren, will bear you a son. Your prayers are answered, which means Zechariah, who is well past ability to have children, and his wife is well past, has been praying for a miracle. He's been praying that his wife would bear a son. I wonder if in his mind he went back to Abraham and said, Lord, I know you did that for Sarah. Can you do that for us? He was praying for a miracle. With Mary, she was given the announcement that she would bear the Son of God. And she says, how is this possible? And the angel says, you will bear a son from the Holy Spirit. And her response is, may it be as you've said. A miracle would happen in her life. When the angel went to Joseph knew the situation. He was an honorable man. He would dismiss Mary quietly. Until the angel said, come and said, nope, her story is true. Take her as your wife, and you will raise God's son. And Joseph did. Joseph took her as his wife, and he went to Bethlehem. And now we have the shepherds who have come to see this ordinary baby to ordinary parents. They saw God, and they went to tell the world what they saw. And the message that they got, as we said earlier, was peace on earth. Which means they needed to believe in the impossible. All right, so a moment of confession. Every message that the angel gave talks about what God is going to do in the world. The peace, the hope, the joy, the love. Everything that God would do from coming into the world. And I ask the question, I ask this one, do we really believe that message? Do we really believe that God will bring peace on earth? Maybe let me say it a little bit differently. Do we believe peace is possible on earth? And I've wrestled with this, and South China Grove knows this, so don't worry about, you know, running to tell them what their preacher thinks. I doubt it. I really struggle with the idea that peace can really be on earth. What's going on in Ukraine and Russia? Is that peace? No. What's going on four houses down from me? where the kids are neglected. Is that peace? What goes on at another place in the United States? Think of the stories you hear in the news. Is peace really possible? I have a hard time believing it because I don't have control of everything. Although it's kind of arrogant of me to say, if I were in Ukraine, I'd have fixed this mess for peace on earth, right? I don't have that much power. Or I'd go down to the house four houses down from me, and I'd pound on the door and I'd bring the children to our house for a meal and just being loved and play with toys. I don't have control over that. So, Lord, if it's possible that peace can be on earth, what do you want me to do? And the message is simple. Do what the shepherds did. Go tell the world. Go live it in your life. Everybody that encountered Jesus, we believe, had a life that was completely changed. Completely changed. We think of the woman at the well. She ran full force back to and said, hey, you've got to come see this. The only way peace happens on earth is if each one of us determined to live it. In the prayer and hope and joy and love that someone around us will be touched by that peace. That they will experience the peace that the shepherds sang about, or shepherds were told about from the angels, peace on earth to all. Instead of feeling like they're in the peace over here that's ruthlessly enforced. I can have peace if all is well, but if all ain't well, no. We determine in our lives we will live that peace. We will be peace in the world. And from there, God's message can go out. Peace on earth. We have to believe the impossible. So I want to leave you with, do you believe in the impossible? If you do, live it. Live the impossible. And as the song says, it doesn't take much to get a fire going. And soon all those around will warm up in its glow. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. Don't let this Christmas just come and go. Believe the impossible and pass it on.
It's amazing to me how wherever God is present, which is everywhere and in everyone, there is peace. And yet, we as humans, like Mackenzie said, seem to have the need to take control of all of those situations and all of those circumstances and all of the relationships and do things our way because somehow we think we can make it better and we end up with a lot of conflict. Rome thought they could do it better. And yet no empire or nation has ever done it any better. Because when we're in control, the best we can do is try to force everybody to kind of get along and brush everything under the rug. But when we truly open our eyes as the shepherds did, when we see God's presence in everything, in everyone, peace has a way of being born anew. Has a way of coming forth because it's really hard to hate someone who is made in the image of the God we love. It's really hard to hold sin against someone when we know that we have also sinned against them and we have been forgiven so much. It's really hard to be in conflict with our brothers and sisters and yet say we love God who always seems to bring all of those horrible people with him wherever he goes, as they are his beloved as well. And so I invite us
to be peacekeepers, to be peacemakers, to be bearers of this message of hope, this Christmas season and always, to go forth and sing out the song of the angels, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come and thank you for this reminder that the shepherds are not just a nice part of an ancient historical story that went and saw a baby and went on about their lives, but that they themselves became messengers of the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed on earth, to the lowest of the low, that you care, that you love, that you are with us, and that in you there is peace. And so send us forth with the angel's song in our hearts. Send us forth with the work of peace in our lives, that all may know the message of Christmas. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.